We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, September 17th. My name is Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014.
Yeah, and I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2015.
Yep. And, had ourselves a fun little week of football, no doubt. I thoroughly enjoyed week three. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I thought there were a lot of good games. We'll kind of get into the ones that we picked here in a little bit. I had an open house, so I missed kind of the early kicks. Which is fine. I made sure I scheduled my open house so I would be home in time to watch the Aggs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was actually watching Premier League and then had people coming through, so I really couldn't keep up with it. I mean, I tried to a little bit. I saw, at one point I looked down, saw South Carolina doing well, and then, you know, they kind of blew that. I've heard that there were some questionable calls in that game.
No doubt.
The thing I do know and can confirm is that kid in the end zone flipping the bird to the LSU player. So start him early.
Start him often.
Yeah, we saw the same thing when we went and played them. Remember when we opened up the SEC network and played there? I think there's a clip in that one, too, of somebody, some fan flipping us off. So maybe that's just tradition in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm not quite sure.
It's a South Carolina thing. You wouldn't understand.
Apparently. But yeah, there were some great games on. There was some stuff. There was some surprising stuff, quite frankly.
Yes.
And so we can kind of get into it. We'll start off with the Aggs.
Sure.
Great game, great win. 33-20 in the swamp with a game that was interrupted. Weather delayed games can always get a little funky. It's just kind of tough to take a break and then get back and lock back in. And some teams can do it. Some teams can't. And sometimes it comes down to individual players can, and some individual players can't. But I thought it was, did you see the joke? Thor caught a touchdown and lightning came down.
That was pretty good.
Great to see the big Swede involved, though.
That was awesome to see.
And totally unfortunate that the reference of the big Swede is completely lost on the younger generations. So you guys got to watch Heartbreak Ridge and maybe you'll get it. Obviously, starting off the game, you get the ball and you start going backwards. And I think there was a automatic concern. And I think if you say you weren't concerned at all, I think you're lying to yourself and lying to whoever is in front of you. If it comes out your mouth going backwards, all of a sudden we're kind of in the shadow of the goalpost. And what happens? Marcel Reed rips off a 31 yard run, something like that. It was second or third and 21. And he just rips it off like it's nothing. And it was like that spark. And so there's the excitement there with that spark. And you're going, okay, well, maybe this is what this guy is. And you'll go on, you win by 13, you miss two field goals. The 40-49, man, it's just like that distance is like in his head. I can think of no other explanation for that.
Yeah.
So, a thorough win, you win basically by two scores. You do it on the road with a weather delay. And I get that Florida is where they are as a program relative to, they've got a Board of Regents meeting and some other stuff. And I'm going to glare on my screen. It is driving me absolutely batty. Hold on a second. All right. that's how we roll.
Technology, baby.
But Florida still got talent on that roster. They're still a talented football team. I think what we saw is the absolute definition. And it shows you that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one at all. If you got two, you got none. Playing Mertz and bringing Lagway in and going back to Mertz. And it was really disjointed on Florida's side. And I get that Napier's trying to do, just throw something at the wall and see what sticks. But that really played into our hands. I thought defense played really well. I was happy with the defense. There's still some receivers running open. I can't remember who it was on Texas Aggs board. One of the subscribers kind of went into it a little bit, just talking about, oddly enough, it's where we're seeing repeated problems with receivers popping open. It's actually on the linebackers.
Yeah.
That's surprising, obviously, because the way Torian York played and I think to an extent you felt pretty good about the linebacker play so far. I don't think they've been, world beaters, but I think you felt pretty good about the linebackers. But again, when you win by 13 on the road, people are going to start nitpicking, right? So some of that is just, you know, just trying to find stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But again, against better teams, and we'll certainly play better teams in Florida, you know, that's the stuff that if we're seeing it, you know, they're seeing it in film room, though. And that's the biggest thing to me. It's not a, you know, hit the fire alarm, you know, four alarm fire drill, you know, everybody running for the cliffs. You're making mistakes, but I think we're still seeing improvement overall as both offensive and defensive unit. You love to see the pick six, you know, you love to see interceptions, turning the ball over. You know, it just feel like it's been forever since we've really been on the plus side of the turnover battle. So that's huge. You know, especially when you're on the road, if you're on the road and you're upside down on turnovers, like if you're losing the turnover battle, it is so tough to win no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing that, and I get Florida is what Florida is, but winning on the road, you know, that's a tough environment. At least it was tough till about halftime. Then apparently enough people had enough, you know, they stayed long enough to boo Billy Napier.
Mm-hmm.
So let's switch over to the offensive side, because that's, you know, obviously the elephant in the room that I haven't addressed yet. So on the offensive side, Marcel Reed, getting Cyrus Allen involved. What we're still seeing as they're working in Jabri Parker is just, he's explosive, man, but it just feels like he's still on a pitch count, which I get. I mean, that's just sometimes that's how it is. So it's there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We saw it. It was explosive. We put up points. We moved the ball, and it wasn't just throwing. You know, he didn't even throw that many passes. He didn't throw for that many yards. But overall, he's what, like 230, 240, something like that total. Or no, it was like 265 total yardage for Marcel, right, between rushing and passing, somewhere in the 200s.
Yeah.
He was efficient. It didn't feel like he was forcing any throws. It wasn't too big for him, you know, and that's always your concern with a start like that. And I get that he's played before, but, you know, he hasn't played in Florida before.
Right.
And his arm slot drives me absolutely batty, but I got to be honest, if your arm slot works for you, I don't care.
Right.
And the whole, he needs to be sliding more.
Yeah.
You know, part of me is like, the kid knows what he can take, right? Like,
yeah.
If he's just kind of that style of guy, that he's just kind of that style of guy. But also, I mean, you see enough injuries when people slide anyways, because then, you know, DBs start coming in with their head down, your head bounces off the turf. So, you know, sliding isn't the, it isn't the end all be all like fix, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you still have issues sliding, you know, catching your cleat in the turf, you know, people coming across you know, rolling, you know, you get rolled up on, get rolled over in an ankle or a knee or, I wouldn't mind him getting out of bounds, but at the same time, if he's producing, let him go. This is college football, man. Let him, and it felt like he was just out there having fun and playing football.
Well, with 261 all purpose yards over the course of a game. That is something impressive. I mean, the guy goes 11 for 17 over the course of the day with two touchdowns, no picks, and was averaging over 10 yards per pass and averaging, you know, 6.5 yards a carry when he was running. So, you know, that's something you like to see out of your production, especially from a backup quarterback in this situation. And a guy who at this stage has had a lot of game experience going back to last year and coming into this year, he's got the team rolling whenever he's on the field. It's kind of a cool thing to see.
You know,
obviously not getting too much into like the other issue from the game for me, which was penalties, but there was a lot of positives to glean from that performance.
Well, and then therein lies the question, right?
Yeah.
Is he your backup? Right. That's the huge debate. And that'll always be a huge debate. You know, whenever you have a situation like this, where a back end comes in, lights it up, you know, you want to see him do it more than once, right? Obviously.
Sure.
But I think gone are the days of, you know, it used to be kind of an unwritten rule. You got injured. When you came back, the spot was still yours. I mean, gone are those days, man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is an interesting one, because you got Bowling Green coming up. You're a 22.5-point favorite. Even if Connor can go shitty, like, even if you still think Connor is your number one quarterback, I don't think there's any reason for him to play this weekend. And I get that Bowling Green is the team that does jump up and bite people, right?
Well, they almost did last week with Penn State.
Exactly. They're that team. But to put that kind of emotion and effort into almost doing it against Penn State, I get that one part of that says, you know, it shows us that we can do this. Let's go do this against Texas A&M. You know, they're not as good as Penn State. Why can't we go down to Aggieland and win? But the other side says that is a lot of emotion and effort to put into trying to beat Penn State, And like, how much gas do you have left in the tank for back-to-back emotional kind of weeks?
Yeah, and we saw that several years ago, and not even with a team on a lower level. I mean, look at what happened. I mean, my favorite example of that is 2012. So we played Alabama, obviously, and won a very, very important game for us. The week before, they played a very emotional, tight game on the road at LSU, and it took a lot out of them. And I know Alabama's number one team in the country, ends up winning the national title that year. They were number one for a reason. But emotionally tough losses can unfortunately affect your performance in the next game.
They absolutely can carry over. And that's where it's the mental, but we're early in the season. Like, these guys aren't physically gassed. I'm not saying like how much do they have in the tank left to get through four quarters of football, but
No.
it's emotionally tough to come that close to a big win like that. It's a big program win for a school like Bowling Green. And man, to have the walnuts to go Penn State, A&M back-to-back scheduling, that's impressive. I'll give them that. That's really impressive. But again, it's also really tough.
It is.
So, and we'll get into our game a little bit once we get into our picks. But
Sure.
I loved what I saw. Great to see the tight ends get involved. Great to see Cyrus Allen just wide open too. Everybody's like,
Yeah.
oh, it's a busted coverage. Any quarterback can make that throw. I don't care. He made the throw.
Right. I mean, three receptions, 81 yards, a lot of that on one play.
Yeah, all of that, just about all of that on one. It was like
Yeah.
71 yards, something like that.
But when you're open, you take advantage of those opportunities. You have to take advantage of them. And
And
they
you got to
did.
be able to deliver the ball. He wasn't standing there with his feet set. He was moving. Quarterback was moving, so he was throwing on the run. So great throw. There was a throw earlier in the game. He was rolling right, and I can't remember who made the reception, but he was rolling right, and it was
Right.
down, not in the red zone, but I think it got us in the red zone or maybe close to it on
Very
the
close.
run. And he was rolling right hard, and he threw back to his left. And if you've never played quarterback or sports, baseball is the same way. Rolling as a right-handed quarterback, rolling to your right and throwing across your body while still rolling. He didn't stop and plant. He came straight across his body, and it had enough zip because there were defenders in the area. Had enough zip to get to the receiver to catch it. That was one of the more impressive throws I've seen out of a college quarterback because that is just sheer arm strength.
Yeah. Well,
Because you're almost defying physics by doing it.
that was something that Johnny was always really, really well regarded for as a quarterback, was his ability to throw accurately with power on the run. That's not a skill a lot of quarterbacks have.
Well, and there's quarterbacks that can throw on the run, but you also have to remember like Johnny and we're not comparing the two. I'm not saying Reed is Johnny. Just don't, please don't. But they're also traveling at a much higher rate of speed than some quarterbacks when they're throwing on the run. When I threw on the run, it wasn't really that big of a deal. Like if I ran by you, you're not going to get a breeze. That's
Right.
slower than Christmas. But so it just I thought that was such a lightning throw, to be honest. I was so impressed by that. Impressed by his ability with his legs. Yeah, I think we knew it, but that's still SEC speed out there on that defense. And
Yeah.
some of the juke moves he had, did you see the clip that said he turned that dude into a furry, like that super hard juke? And he went outside and the dude like turned around and he couldn't catch his feet. He was like running on all fours.
The sad part is he did it twice because he also broke him in the first half too. It wasn't nearly as highlight reel, but it was one of those like he had him in a blender twice. And I mean that's impressive to do as a quarterback. And he's not a small guy either, you
Well, and
know.
he put his foot in the dirt too, like a couple times. He's very, very impressive when he's out, just out on the run, quite frankly, whether it's designed or just kind of a jailbreak. And not that I thought there were a lot of jailbreaks. One thing I think I did see, honestly, because there were some open receivers he didn't see. And that's something you're always going to have with a young quarterback like that, is their progressions. Like, even if they go through their progressions, they're so fast. They're like, one, two, three, four, shit, go. And so they just, their internal clock runs a little fast. The game's too fast for them kind of thing, right? That's the cliche everybody uses. But they go through their progressions so quickly. And for a dude like Marcel Reed, who has the wheels, it's easy for him to be like, nah, I'm out of here. So it's not that I saw a ton of collapsed pockets. It's not that, they had lockdown coverage. There were some progression misses in there. And again, that's something you improve on from week to week. And it's not just, obviously it's a different defense every week. So there's going to be different talent on the, over top, but every play has its progression. pretty much no matter the defense, minus a hot route kind of stuff, which I thought he did well. I think he hit two hot routes, reading blitzes ahead of time, got the ball out, hit his receiver. That's great to see. That means pre-snap he's processing, or mm-hmm. we're snapping it early enough to where the coaches can still talk to him. But remember, because at 15 seconds, when it shuts off. So if you get the play in fast enough, technically they can still be talking to him. Like, here's the defense you're looking at. But so overall, absolutely thrilled with his performance. I thought he played so well. And I think he has to play. I don't think you need to play Connor Wigg. You dress him out as an emergency kind of valve. But and what's interesting, going back to the Florida game, before the game started, and they were like, yeah, it's going to be Marcel Reed, because remember, like, they were both out there warming up.
Right.
They didn't show him a lot. It didn't look like Connor was throwing the ball real hard, but again, sometimes they're just playing toss,
Yeah.
And they panned to the sidelines, and they showed Connor Wegman, and I saw him mouth the word. He goes, bullshit. And I'm like, that's not good. But then you watch the game and Marcel talks about, them kind of talking together, and, he's like, I got your back. So it's, I understand. Like, I was concerned. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Kyle Allen, Kyler Murray, here we go. But I think it's just, he's a competitor. He wants to play.
Right.
And he's mature enough to not take it out on Marcel Reed.
Well, as he shouldn't, because here's the deal. If you are not 100%, I don't want you in the game. It's simple as that. I mean, when, especially a quarterback like Connor Wegman, who we understand is a phenomenal talent. He's a very talented quarterback. I don't think anybody will sit here and deny that.
No. Yeah, again, you'd be lying.
Yeah, I would be lying if I said I didn't think he was a talented quarterback. But the fact of the matter is, he has proven now with injury every single season that he's played with us in some form or fashion. Maybe not necessarily season ending, but something, like, now we're having a shoulder issue. Now we broke the ankle. We've had a leg thing. It's like there's always something there, and it makes you wonder.
Some people are just injury prone. And the problem with an AC joint sprain is, you can be just fine one day and the next day it's awful. And so that's one of those injuries that it truly takes a long time to recover from. And unfortunately, there's really no set timetable, because every single person is going to recover differently. And shoulder issues just suck. Even if you're not a quarterback, shoulder issues. So my mom's got a torn rotator cuff right now. She's a piano player, but it's killing her.
Yeah.
They take so long to recover from, if any setback, it's simply have a setback as well, it's almost like back injuries. You can say it's 6 to 8 weeks, but it could be 9 months,
It could be one.
So he's injury prone. Like, you have to say that. And I know people are going to say, well, that one time was a jailbreak and he got absolutely massacred.
It still got hurt.
He still got hurt. And so, it's three seasons. So it's concerning that he's injury prone. It's one of those things where, with it being a shoulder, with the fact we're playing Bowling Green, there's no reason for him to play this week. None. Like,
they're already saying he's only day to day.
Yeah. Day to day, week to week. That's what Elko said. And so, if we're 22 and a half point favorites and we go out and we play to that and we get up big, he still shouldn't play.
Right.
Like, he probably should be in street clothes.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of one of those things. If he comes back and plays great, great. If he comes back and he's fully healthy and Marcel Reed's out playing him, I'm not the coach, man. But I know what my eyes saw on Saturday. I saw it with my eyes. I saw how the offense moved. I get that it's Florida. So maybe it's a TBD kind of thing, Maybe it's, let's see, it gets better competition. Yeah. Well, all right. So you got Bowling Green this week. I mean, right. Again, if the line is correct, what are we going to glean from it? Not much.
Not much.
Right? Then you get Arkansas. So really, Arkansas is your next challenge. But is Arkansas any good? And then you'll have those people making these excuses. Well, Arkansas is really not that good this year. Mizzou's going to be when we're going to find out. What if Mizzou loses to Vandy this weekend? Like, quit kicking the can down the road and admit to what you saw.
Right, and what we saw in the Florida game was a team that went out and did their job. The only thing I did not much care for was, honestly, second half defense in terms of how we played it. I didn't like the fact that we kind of hung back and played a little prevent there, especially late third quarter, fourth quarter. When my posts, after halftime, I was like, hey, Great start. We're at 20 to nothing. Foot on the throat. You need to shut these games down, break their spirit. And you saw it on the face of the fans and the players. I mean, they were broken.
And but, you kind of let them in back in it a little bit. You gave them a little bit of hope.
Yeah, you don't want to ever give them hope, ever.
It's Moy's ball, man. That's straight up what it is. And I fully agree with you. I didn't like the scheme. I mean, the players are going to play in the scheme that's given. So
sure.
When you're playing a bend, don't break kind of defense.
Let's just say you can get away with it with Florida. You won't be able to get away with that with Missouri.
Oh, gosh, no. No, they'll come back. And you'd be up by 14. They'll beat you by 20.
Best wide receivers in the nation. You've got to lock that down. That's going to be a really interesting matchup to see. Obviously, that's way off. We're not even there.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But that is one thing that, and I agree with you. It is kind of concerning. Like, just keep your foot on the throat. Like, if you know a couple of minutes into the fourth quarter when you're up by 30, you do that. I get it, man. Because you don't get any trophy that matters for being the defense that gave up the least amount of points.
Right.
You know, granted, if you're that defense, you generally win, but.
Yeah,
but you also, you know, you just don't want to let him hang around, because what if somehow, you know, you're letting him hang around, DJ Lagway comes in and figures it out,
or let's say offensively you make a mistake, you know, accidentally. Well,
let's say Mertz can hit the ground with the football when he drops it. Like, right. If any of these things happen.
Yeah. Well, when it does come down to like those little things, and you know, we talked about turnovers. That was the one thing I absolutely loved about this game. We got three turnovers and gave up none. That's huge. And that's what we want to see out of this defense. And
you got to win the turnover battle on the road, period. Like, that's not optional. And then in big matchups, we saw it against Notre Dame. Lost the turnover battle, lost the game. And the game was tight. You know, the 2010, and man, it was tied with not that much time left to go. And they ended up putting 10 more points on the board. And so, you know, that's one of those things. Excuse me. You know, if we're out there and you're not just going to run for two straight quarters. So what if it's kind of close and you throw one and it gets tipped and they pick six it? Then all of a sudden, you know, the dynamic of the game changes.
It does.
So I'm with you. I'm all about, like, you've got to stay on the throats. Like, absolutely. There's a time in the game to do it. The third quarter generally is not that time.
No, fourth quarter late, by all means. Yeah. But if you're up, like I said, we were up at a healthy margin, especially after that pick six. I mean, that's pretty much what sealed it. But even so, I would like to see this defense stay on them a bit. And that's hopefully a lesson that was gleaned from this game and something that will take over into the next one and the next one and everyone after.
Yeah, take the pick six off the board and, you know, we beat them by 6 points.
Yeah, which is, you know, you still cover, but.
There'd have been a lot of sweating if that was the case. So, but I don't want to harp on it because it's a win, man. Aggies will always find ways to complain. Fans always will, but. I was really happy with what I saw. There's stuff to clean up. Absolutely. You know, you would have loved to beat them 33-6 kind of thing.
Oh yeah. All day. But
you know, you also, if you got a kicker that can kick from between 40 to 49 yards ever, you know, you're almost at 40. Yeah. And I get, you know, I took the pick six out one, and I'm adding back in here, but still, you know, 40 looks really pretty on the road.
Oh, always does.
So, but still 33-20, happy with his two score win on the road. First start for that kid in a true road environment. I plenty to take away from it, but for me, mostly positive.
Oh yeah. I'm right there with you and looking forward to good matchup this week with Bowling Green. We did have other picks. How did we do this week?
So you beat me this week. You were 4-1 and I was 3-2. Remember, I picked South Carolina.
Right.
Which I, quite frankly, if you take the refs out of it, I was right and you were wrong.
But if you take my factors where I said all those crazy things are going to happen and LSU's still going to find a way to win.
Yeah, but you never said the refs. You never said the refs, cop out.
I never said the refs, but you didn't say the refs either.
But it's LSU. So it's LSU. It's implied. That's both of us picked K-State. I think that was an easy pick.
Yeah.
Starting off the week, K-State, they're a good football team. Again, you picked LSU. I picked South Carolina. So, whatever. Yeah, we were both wrong in the Apple Cup. This is one of the more surprising results, and I'm thrilled for Wazoo, by the way. I'm thrilled that they beat them. I am. So we were both wrong on that one. It is what it is. We were both right on Indiana. UCLA is a really, really bad football team.
That was confirmed this past week. I knew they didn't look too hot against Hawaii, and they certainly did not show up in this Indiana game.
I can't remember who UCLA is playing this week, but they're like 20 some odd point dogs. Like, they're like Bowling Green dogs.
I had not.
Yeah, I can't remember who. Yes, yeah, figure look that up. See who they're playing. But and then we both got the Aggies. So obviously you went 3-2, I went 4-1. That brings us both to 8-7 on the season. So just a touch above mediocrity.
Hey, I'll take it. Right. Oh, they're playing at LSU this week. 24-point dogs.
Oh, actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to get absolutely torched. I'd probably pick LSU to cover that. UCLA.
Yeah, same.
So those were our five, though. And then, and we'll get into our picks, kind of closer to the end kind of thing. But I've got them right here.
No, I can't see them yet.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm surprised you. Well, you already know one of them that we're picking. Well, yeah. You know, too, because we always pick the – well, I don't even know if we should pick the Aggies.
I mean,
we'll pick them on the spread.
Let's say we know what the expectation is. Yes.
Yeah, we'll pick them on the spread. There's actually some really good football this weekend, which is exciting. There's a good handful of top 25 matchups. I'm sick to my stomach that Texas is ranked number one, but it'll make it all that better when we beat them at Kyle Field. They got to get in their SEC schedule, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but so they haven't played anybody in their SEC schedule, and frankly, the three teams they've played so far, not good. Michigan is not a good football team, I'm sure we'll touch on that one in a minute.
Michigan, their offense, it reminds me of Iowa. Like, their offense is setting football back like 20 years.
It's not good.
Or 60 years.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Like, we knew they were going to lose people. But you kind of figure it's Michigan. You're coming off a national title, so chances are you have depth, right? Like, you've recruited to this point. You built to this point. You built the program. You beat Ohio State. You know, you're overcoming these milestones that have been the biggest bugaboo for Michigan for a while. And then, like, just gutted. Absolutely gutted. On top of that, I thought their defense was going to be good. I'll eat that crow. I thought they had enough left over on defense that at least their defense would help them and keep them in games. And they've got USC coming to town this weekend, and they are 5.5-point dogs in the Big House.
Yeah.
So that's, again, I'll say it every week. You get 3 points for being at home. So they are more than a touchdown dog in a neutral environment.
Yeah.
And I get that Michigan fans come out just like Florida fans do, right? Florida fans are just about done with their program right now. That Swamp, they came out, right? They show up, and I feel like the Michigan fans aren't the same.
Yeah, like I said.
I mean, USC Michigan, that's one of those like historic matchups, right? You know, like the kind of stuff we get to see in the Rose Bowl back in the day when, you know, there weren't any playoffs or anything like that. But, man, I got to be honest. I bet the Big House is going to be half empty by halftime. I think USC is going to put it on them.
They might, but yeah, we'll definitely get into that. I kind of figured we would, for sure.
But outside of that, Premier League came back this weekend after an international break. I hate the early international break. You're like, sweet football, and 2 weeks later, you're like, where'd the football go? I was able to catch the end of it because I got to my open house early enough. Ow. Kicked my chair.
It'll happen.
I got to see West Ham. They were able to pull a point at death, basically. Against Fulham. I would love to go to a game at Craven Cottage. I love those old boxy ones. Oh,
same. I mean, Craven Cottage is on my short list of stadiums I want to go visit.
Unfortunately, you know, Goodison Park's going away because Everton's building that huge toilet bowl. So they can play in the championship.
Exactly.
Everton just finds a way to be Everton. What was that? Was it last week or was it before the international break? They were up like 2-0 and they lost. They were up 2-0 in like 60 or 70th minute and lost 3-2. Like, it's the most Everton thing ever.
They are absolute bottom of the table. They have no points through four matches.
And you know, like, you know for a fact that the Premier League is still waiting to take 10 points away from them for something.
Oh, yeah. Something.
Yeah. Like we're just waiting for the Premier League to punish Man City by taking Everton points away. Like, they're going to take points away from Everton because of Man City.
That would be pretty funny. I wouldn't put it past them to do that.
Yeah, how's Liverpool? So I haven't been able to catch a lot of Premier League yet. Like generally, I'm able to catch a lot of the matches, so I have a good feel. But it's so early in the season, and I haven't caught as many matches as I'd like. I don't know much about what's going on, quite frankly. Which is crazy to think.
Well, so they're playing Champions League right now. They're on the road. They did. They're currently tied 1-1 with looks like Inter Milan. Yeah, they're currently tied 1-1 with them. They lost over the weekend to Nottingham Forest. That's a classic rivalry over there in the UK for anybody that keeps up with that one.
It's a classic. I believe it's a classic rivalry, but I mean, Forest have been out of the league for 40, 50 years. So, right, yeah, so it's hard to kind of bring it back. I'll tell you, I'm the same way. I don't like the London clubs outside of Palace. Like Palace, I don't care. I think we talked about this. You know, Crystal Palace wants, because the London derbies are great, right? Between Arsenal and Tottenham and West Ham,
Fulham
and Chelsea.
Yeah.
And like Crystal Palace is there. It's like it's like that meme that has like the two really mean dragon heads and the one looks like a total doofus. Palace. They want a rivalry with everybody so bad. And even though like Palace could be above us in the table, and I'm still like, it's Palace. Who cares? Like sometimes you almost forget that they're in London.
Palace is the equivalent of Texas Tech in London.
Yeah. It's like Tech wanted to be right back in the Southwest Conference, right?
Yep.
You know, everybody had their rivalries and Tech was like, hell yeah. And everybody's like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, this was back when, and you got to remember, for those of y'all that don't know, there's younger people watching this show or you just got into sports, you know, in the last 10 or so years. Southwest Conference, it was fun while we were in it. Don't get me wrong. Sure. So it's, you know, it's A&M, Cougar High, Baylor, TCU, SMU, Texas Tech,
Texas.
The Sips, Baylor. Did I ever say Baylor?
Yeah, Arkansas.
Arkansas before they left for the SEC.
SMU, TCU.
Yeah, did I say Rice? Rice was in there.
Rice
so it was like, it was outside of Arkansas, it was the Texas Conference. That's basically what it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, you never went west to Austin. So it wasn't like UTEP or UTSA or anything like that. But like there were some really deep seated rivalries, and the conference been around forever, right? And so, like that's where, and you know, a rivalry like A&M in Texas is natural. I get it, right? But this is where you also had the Big Eight, and you had OU and Nebraska and Colorado and Nebraska, and like these huge rivalries. But it was almost like back in the day when the freeways were still 55 miles an hour, Texas Tech may as well have been in Greenland.
Yeah, it was a long way away.
Yeah, and. And for those of you that don't know, a long time ago, getting into Texas Tech was not very difficult.
No.
It was one of those things where your high school class kind of split. Like you had a couple of Ivies. You know, if you were in a big class, like I was in a big school, you had a couple of Ivies and a couple of randos. But your class pretty much split between A&M and Texas. And those that couldn't get it in there went to Tech.
That's a lot.
How it kind of used to be. So it was hard to take them seriously for a lot of reasons. Now that has obviously changed. Texas Tech's a really nice university. Oh, they're phenomenal. Still up in Lubbock, but you can drive 85 miles an hour to get there.
True.
You know.
Yeah, and I'll admit, I've always had a soft spot for Tech. And you know, growing up out there, you know, because I'm 3 hours away from the school. My little brother went to school there. A lot of good friends of mine went to school there. I have zero issues with Tech as a school. I've just never viewed them as a rivalry. Like, it's one of those where it's like, it's a fun game when it happens across all the sports. It always was. And sure, there was a lot of tension there, but I'd never rank them anywhere close as far as how I feel about Texas or how I feel about, obviously, you know, some of these other teams.
For me, like whenever we played Tech, I hated Tech for 3.5 hours. And then I didn't think about them anymore. You know,
sure.
Obviously, you know, you have the, like the run in the goalposts in the A, and it, like there's been some thing, you know, the kids on Kyle Field and the Saber and you know
SMU thing, but yeah,
no, that was SMU. That's right. I'm sorry, but the fact that they've embraced tortilla throwing and like Mike Leach brought them to such prominence, and there's a reality here that Mike Leach bringing their football program, you know, into the national spotlight, good enough to be in the national spotlight, that has a direct impact on your enrollment. Quite frankly, it really does.
Oh, sure.
And so Tech has become, you know, not that they weren't a legitimate university, but the academics at Tech are good. It's not, you know, but it used to be like, we always joked, like, if you can mostly stay inside the lines when you color, you can go to Tech. But it's fun to see those kind of rivalries, you know, And I think that's where a lot of Americans don't like soccer because you get in at a tie. You can watch for 98 minutes and it's still nil-nil. I love that kind of football. I do. European football, the rest of the world football. But when it comes to our football, what's funny is, chicks dig the long ball. Like offenses, man, that puts butts in the seats.
Yeah.
Now, defense wins you championships, but offense sells tickets.
Right.
And so, it's hard to kind of balance those two because I also grew up watching the Wrecking Crew in the days of Roper and Wallace. And so I love a good defense, but that was back when our offenses were, Bucky and it's triple option or not triple option, run the option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Football as a whole wasn't high flying minus a couple of people on the West Coast.
Sure. Right.
It was okay to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Speaking of that, back to our game. Huge turnout by Le'Veon Moss.
Oh,
I forgot to mention that. Obviously, all of our backs, if you look at how many rushing yards we had.
Oh, they're phenomenal.
Yeah, when I was on the fan show, Hunter Shirtless said the one player he needed to be good was Le'Veon Moss. I actually said Daniels. I thought they both had great games.
Sure.
Yeah, so I was really happy with the running game. Again, that's Florida talent out there. Don't let that fool you. It's Florida talent.
Did you happen to see what happened? So after the pick six, what Shamar Stewart ended up doing?
I didn't see. I saw Bryce Anderson shushing the crowd before he got in the end zone. And for everybody complaining about that, like it being taunting, I don't think you can taunt the crowd.
No.
I don't think you get flagged for that.
You don't get
flagged. Maybe. I don't know. We got the NFL, no fun league.
It depends on what you do, I think. I mean, like if you're flipping double birds in the end zone, yeah, they're probably going to flag you for that. But if you're just.
That's worth the 15, though. That's
right. But if you're doing this number or doing this, whatever, have fun with it. I think Shamar Stewart, one of the funniest things he did was after the pick six, was he tossed his A&M towel into the recruits that were all sitting there in that end zone watching us score.
Oh, Florida's recruits.
Yes.
Oh shit.
Yeah. One of the greatest. I was like, oh my God. Which is, I think, an indictment on Florida. Don't put your recruits right behind that end zone.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'd put them back behind your bench or something,
I will say the college football, they have allowed the kids to have a little bit more fun, mm-hmm. Get a first down, stand up and point, and not flagging it. Come on, man.
Let them have fun.
Yeah, so let them have fun. And obviously, I didn't have any problem with what Bryce Anderson did. But I will tell you, in this one, I do remember this call in the South Carolina LSU game because it was also on all of the highlight reels.
Yeah.
They picked it off, and South Carolina player, I think it was number 4, who looked like he had a really good game from what I could tell. Nussmeier, he double arm punched Nussmeier in the front of the jersey. And he got flagged for it. And this is the crap that I can't stand. That was a legal hit. It was in front. He used his hands. He got to the front. It's not blindside if you hit him in the front. It's not. He didn't ear hole him. There was no helmet contact whatsoever. His arms were extended. Nussmeier, that's part of it, man. Don't throw a pick and you won't have to have your head on a swivel. That was an egregious call.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I really did not like that call.
Some old man yelling at clouds. That got me fired up, though, man. And I played quarterback. And the one thing I've just gotten completely sick of, and I watch NFL, but I don't watch it near as much as I used to. It's because they just absolutely baby these quarterbacks. Get over it, man. This is football. And I understand there's a lot of safety stuff, but half the crap that they're calling against quarterbacks or for quarterbacks, however you want to kind of look at it, it's just crap, man. You're a football player. If you come away with some boo-boos, you're going to be okay. And on top, while I'm ranting, quit paying these freaking athletes so much money. Good Lord, these contracts are completely out of control. Completely out of control. It's disgusting. Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott do not bring me enough joy to validate that. They don't bring their entire fan base enough to validate that.
And thank you for this wonderful segment with Rants with Roy. If you would like to
support us. It's unbelievable, man. It's just, this money is, it's unreal, and it's across sports, and I get it.
Yeah.
But on top of that, with the money the owners are making, obviously pay the players, but I'm like, where this all boils down to? Us paying $130 per ticket, $15 effing dollars for a beer, $23 for a fucking hot dog, to watch what is literally the same sport as it was. I get maybe a little more high flying, and I get it, but it's still football and it's still for our entertainment. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't have that rant planned. I don't know where the hell that came from, but
I love it. Damn it. Love it.
Yeah, I got to get decaf or something. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, man, I think what it is, I made Monte Cristos for lunch. I think it's that raspberry jam and powdered sugar got me all. I'm all hooked up on Dr. Pepper.
There you go. You got me all jacked up there on that Mountain Dew. In the meantime, Liverpool just took the lead over Milan right before the half. So 2-1 there. Love that for us. But
let's get into picks, yeah?
Let's get into picks. I'm about it. All right. Yeah. So hit us with the first game. Got it ready.
All right. So first game is this is Friday night. It is number 20 Nebraska on the road at number 24 Illinois. So top 25 matchup. Nebraska is
the way around.
Huh?
The way around. Illinois is going to Nebraska.
Oh, I have it backwards. Okay. So Illinois. Oh, I think what I looked at was wrong then. So Illinois is going to Nebraska. Nebraska's 8.5 point favorites at home.
Yep.
I love to root for the Fighting Illini. I do. I think Nebraska might be trying to turn a corner here.
Think so.
This is a tough one just because when it's Thursday or Friday night games, weird stuff always happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the weird stuff happens because you didn't play on a Saturday. But I got to take Nebraska. I don't know that Nebraska covers, but then again, I don't know how good Illinois is kind of sneaking in kind of the bottom of the top 25. You know, when you get to these teams, and I think Nebraska, their quarterback's been throwing great. He's got like 630 yards passing, like 5 touchdowns. I don't think he's thrown a pick yet. So that's big. And you know, they're in their house and playing in Lincoln. They just sell it out. So I'm going to take Nebraska to win this. That's my head talking. My heart wants Illinois to win, but I'll sure. take Nebraska for the picks.
Yeah, I'm with you on Nebraska. You can go and put me on down for that game. I'm once again with it being at home. Yeah, Friday nights are goofy for sure, but you know, Nebraska really has shown me this year already early that they are not a Nebraska of the last basically decade. You know, they've been playing a lot better. They've been showing a lot more.
Yeah, it feels like they're kind of turning a corner, right?
Yeah, and I mean, they absolutely put a beat down on a very talented Colorado team, which, you know, came back and they proved me wrong. They took care of business against Colorado State, once again, terrible team. But Nebraska has proven to me at this point that I think they're worthy of their ranking, and I think they're probably going to win that game.
Yeah. Yes, I got Nebraska. Next one, we'll go we'll just go and take them in the order I wrote them down. UT is headed into Norman, Oklahoma, and they're going to have game day there. That is number 6, Tennessee, at number 15, Oklahoma, where the wind blows through.
I regret having to watch that game on television at any point because of the marching bands.
Oh, wow.
We're going to hear nothing but Rocky Top and Boomer Sooner for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I'm going to have to turn on Spotify or something. So Tennessee's a 7.5 point favorite. I think that is woefully low. I don't think OU can hang anywhere in the ballpark with Tennessee. I think Tennessee is really, really good this year. But you never know. Maybe OU's like first, is their SEC opener, right? Home opener?
It is.
And so, you know, the town's going to be rocking, right? Norman is going to be absolutely rocking.
Yep.
I just don't think OU's got the dogs to keep up with Tennessee.
I don't think so. I think OU's going to come into this game pretty hyped up, no doubt. I mean, you win, you know, home game against a not great Houston team, turn around and take care of business against Tulane, but now you've got yourself coming in with Tennessee rolling into your house, who has looked damn near unstoppable when they've been moving the ball.
They have. And I think this is how it works out, is OU may be peeking around the corner at the Red River Shootout. Isn't that next weekend?
That's a few weeks away. That's a few weeks away, so that's really not coming up. I mean, after this for Oklahoma, they do have they're going to be on the road at Auburn, then they play Texas. So they have one week.
There's 1 week in between.
Well, 2 weeks because they have a bye before Texas. So.
But still, I just think Tennessee's too good. I think if OU's completely locked in, I don't think they can beat Tennessee. But, you know, I could be wrong. It's only, 7.5 points, but that, you know, then you're looking at 10 neutral. So that's a big SEC line on the road.
Rocky Top.
Yeah, I got Rocky Top.
Rocky Top.
We're going to bet this one on the spread.
Ooh.
Number 11 USC Trojans go to the big house, correct?
They do.
It's in the big house, right?
Yes, number 11 USC going to the big house, Michigan.
And the fact that Michigan is still ranked is laughable. They're ranked 18th.
They did not look great against Arkansas
USC is
State.
a 5.5 point favorite on the road. I think this is the week Michigan falls out of the top 25 for the foreseeable future. I think USC is going to go and just kind of beat them up, quite frankly.
Win and cover the spread. 5.5 points. USC.
Well,
Fight on.
it's easy to cover the spread when your offense isn't going to put any points on the board. And I'm not saying USC has a world beater defense, but that's not required. Having
No.
11 human beings on the field can stop. Like, pick the age. I don't care.
Yeah,
Michigan offense is awful. This is going to be the week they get beat up, they drop out of the top 25, and we may not see them back in the top 25 until a BS preseason bowl.
I think they're going to roll into Michigan and do their job and win healthily, I think.
So, next one I think is going to be one of the best games on the slate this weekend. And that is, and correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I don't think mine had, it was just like putting them in order. So I may be wrong here where this game is. Utah and Oklahoma State.
It's in Stillwater.
Okay, it is. Yeah. All right. That's all I got it written down. Number 12, Utah. Number 14, Oklahoma State. Cowboys are 3-point favorites at home, which means this is a coin flip game, man. I think this is going to be a really, really good game to watch. I like Oklahoma State this year. They've looked pretty good. And Utah with Cam Rising is Utah with Cam Rising. That dude is legit, man.
Yeah.
And so I think this is probably one of the better games to watch for the weekend, if not the best game to watch for the weekend, outside of some random, game actually being entertaining. That dude, I'm gonna let you go first on this one. I have no idea.
Okay. I'm frankly with this one, with the spread being so small. I mean, it's a negative two to Utah at this point. I gotta think. My brain is leaning Oklahoma State strictly because of home field on this one. I like Oklahoma State in this matchup. Frankly, that's just kind of the be all end all for it for me. I think Oklahoma State's going to win.
Just being in Stillwater.
I think just the fact that it's in Stillwater, I think the fact that it's a home game, that's Utah, big road game for them for sure. And yeah, they've been in the league for a bit, so
Yeah, and
they
oh, by the way, it's a conference game.
It's a conference game. They're in here. But, opening conference weekend for Oklahoma State at home, pokes.
So we're not the same all the way across the board. I'm going to take Utah.
That's cool with me. Let's break it
Yeah,
up a little bit.
well, and it's number 12 and number 14 too. I mean, so this really is kind of a pick'em game.
That's all
If
cool.
this were on a neutral side, I wouldn't even pick this. I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah. So,
I
I
give up. I
mean,
give up. I quit.
I think, yeah, Oklahoma State. On that one for me.
Yeah, I got Utah. All right, so the last game is the Aggs. So obviously we're gonna bet this on the spread because the line is 22.5 points against a Bowling Green team that tried really, really hard to beat a good Penn State team.
If Connor starts, I'd like Bowling Green to cover. If Marcel starts, I like A&M to cover. Is that kind of a weird deal? It's
That's
hard to
not
pick
how
that.
any of this works.
That's the trouble.
Well, see, I don't think Connor's going to play. I think Reed will play. If Vegas thinks this is this big of a number, it's not like we're traveling to Bowling Green. We're not going to Kentucky. We're here. I like the Aggies to cover in this game. I liked what I saw last week.
I'll say we cover it.
Yeah, I'll take. I'll, I think it's a big number,
I think we can do it.
but it's only a score, touchdown and a field goal just about from what we did last week against Florida State talent on defense. And Bowling Green doesn't have Florida, excuse me, Florida talent. So Bowling Green doesn't have Florida talent on their roster.
No, and I mean, looking at this, I mean, the stats from last week with Penn State, I mean, oh, what did we have here? I mean, you're talking passing yardage. They had 204 passing. They did rush really well, but that's where we've had our strength is preventing the run. So I think if we can really limit their opportunities to run the ball, we can, I mean, I think that's gonna be the big one because they did give up. 234 yards rushing last week, and we've proven that we're real good about stopping that.
Right. Yeah, I like the matchup. I like that it's at home. I like that we went one on the road, so the crowd will be nice and good. The weather's going to be nice. There's a lot of factors going Anum's way. So yeah, I'll take him to cover.
Yeah, I think we'll cover.
All righty, I guess that's about it for this. What's going on?
Well, this week we have our last couple of shows before we hit the road. We're going to be before I hit the road, and by the road I mean water, because I'm going to go on my cruise. But before that, we're going to be in Spring this Friday over at Rowdy's, which used to be Big Texas. It's a great big dance hall there. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun. And then we're playing Bonita Creek Hall over there in Nacogdoches. So if you have any friends over there, SFA or otherwise, we are playing out there. I'm looking forward to that show. Should be a lot of fun. As far as this past weekend, it was highly entertaining. We had a lot of fun. So we played over there at 11 Warren Plano, which is a great little venue there, a good restaurant. Then we played the Glen Heights community, like 55th anniversary event, which was interesting because it was a multi-genre event where we were the only country band on the lineup. Everybody else was like an R&B act, a rapper, big.
Oh, that's right. It was like a little bit for everybody, right?
A little bit for everybody. And I will say the people treated us really, really well. We had a great time. The coolest part of the day was we had access to a trailer that we just got to hang out in all day. And that was brilliant because we had TV access. So we just sat down and watched the A&M game. We watched the South Carolina LSU game before that. And so we were able to catch a lot of college football, which was really, really nice.
That's a plus. You get to play and you get to watch football.
Yeah. You know, and the best part was we went on stage at like, I don't know, like 6:55 or so. We were done by 7:25. We were out of there by 8:30. I was in my own house at 11 o'clock on a Saturday. If I was playing a show in College Station, we wouldn't have started yet.
I was going to say.
It was awesome. I got home.
We should do that more often.
I would chill. I mean, yeah, play the least for the most amount of money. That is the end goal of any musician on this planet. I will tell you that. But it was fun. It was cool. My boys back home in Carlsbad, they won their homecoming game pretty handily, which was nice. So it was damn near a perfect sports weekend. Damn near. But yeah. Unfortunately, Liverpool couldn't pull it out. But that's
The way the flow of the game went for West Ham, pulling a point out of that was, I'll take it.
Yeah, you'll take it.
Yeah. So,
what do you got going on this week?
My picks weren't great, but just working, man. I'm trying to do more content. So it's, and not YouTube, but just like Instagram. And obviously, that's yours over to Facebook. And I've started my thing. It's today's day is, you know, like every day is like today's National Hot Dog Day or whatever, right? You know, there's always something for every day, right? And there's generally anywhere from 8 to 15 of them every day. So I kind of get the pick. So I started doing these videos. Today was a little bit longer because today is National Monte Cristo Day.
Ooh.
So if you're big into those sandwiches, I just generally like food because I'm fat.
Feel that.
So I had a little bit more fun with it today. I actually filmed a longer video and I, you know, made a Monte Cristo. So if you don't know how to make one or if you never have one, I had to break it up into three consecutive stories on Instagram. But the full video should be on X on my account. So. Just having fun with it, man. Just trying to push some more, you know, push as much stuff out on social as I can. But you know, I'm not super a social media guy, so yeah. it's kind of baby steps for me. But I'm having fun with it. It seems like people like it. I don't know.
I did have one question that came across. This is from Jive Coach G. He said, "Do you know what I'd want y'all to talk about? Anything, everything but Aggie soccer." They don't want to talk. They don't want us talking Aggie soccer.
Woof.
Yeah.
Hey, have you seen Aggie volleyball though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Aggie volleyball, no joke. So.
No joke.
Yeah, and it's try and get out to Reed. You know that, and he. I don't know. If, you know, if you watch Tex Aggs or if you tune out for certain people or whatever. So Coach Jamie. Jamie Morrison. Mm-hmm. Sorry. you know, he's coached internationally, and there's like a professional team that's coming to Houston. So they're going to have professional volleyball kind of in their backyard, which is great for the program.
Oh, yeah.
But he's done stuff international. And if you've ever seen international volleyball, well, really even the Olympics when it's played over there, because that's good enough, you know, because the international crowds travel, you know, to those events. The atmosphere at a volleyball game is actually pretty nutso when it's international. And he's trying to bring some of those aspects to Reed. So it should just be a lot more fun as opposed to just, you know, not just sitting there watching volleyball, you know, the DJ involved, get loud, have some fun.
Yeah.
And so if you get a chance, go out there and support them. They're playing great volleyball right now. And so, if you can get out to Reed and support the girls for the volleyball program. But other than that, just working, man, just working. Still working on some stuff down towards the spring area. I don't know if I've addressed this or I just kind of teased or not, but working on putting together an event for Halloween down in spring. I'm trying to expand our geographical footprint for BRG, and that's where I'm from anyways. So just kind of working on pushing down towards there. So if you're in, we're actually just kind of starting in one neighborhood, my old neighborhood, but it's like 2,100 rooftops. So it's a decent start. But if you're down in the spring area or anything like that for real estate and you're looking for real estate stuff, you know, that's kind of my old hood, man. And so we're going to be kind of expanding our footprint down there. So if you got anything, if you would like an equity check or, you know, evaluation of your home, you know, don't hesitate to reach out on social or, you can email me roy@bachrealtygroup.com. So there's my shameless pitch. I'd be a terrible realtor if I didn't.
Oh yeah. No, you always got to be marketing.
Right. Absolutely. All right. So, you got a new one this week?
So we've got one that I didn't get to show off from last week. It's Robert Earl Keen's Ready for Confetti. Ready,
yeah, nice.
And that's a great record. I Gotta Go, which is one of his all-time hits on this record. But a bunch of great songs. The Road Goes On and On. Show the World, Waves on the Ocean, Top Down. I mean, there's so many phenomenal tunes on this record. And, I mean, he's an Aggie, so what are you going to do? But always been a big fan of Robert Earl Keen. I still have... I still have the No Kind of Dancer record here. I was supposed to get it over to Carson when we got back home last night that night, and I just slipped my mind. I mean, it was so late. I'll be sure to make sure he gets that soon, preferably before the baby break.
There you go.
Like I said, we'll probably end up going to his house, and if to load out and go gig this week, if that's the case, I'll just bring it with me. But. Yeah, no. Other than that, guys, be sure to follow us on our socials. We're on X. We're on Instagram. Be sure to follow both of us. Handles are down below on YouTube. Yeah,
and you got anything you ever want us to talk about, or you got any questions, you know, just reach out. You can just reach out to the channel or either one of us. And Rob's always good about putting out a post, you know, a little bit before we're getting ready to record. So thank y'all for listening. As always, beat the hell out of Bowling Green.
Yes.
And cover, please.
Yep. For the love of God, cover. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you. Take care. Beat the hell out of Bowling Green.